Well, Israel's parliament will dissolve later today, paving the way for Israelis to head to the polls on October 27th.
I determine that the law offered to dissolve the 25th Knesset, Hatashpav 2026, by lawmaker Ofir Katz and a group of lawmakers, was accepted.
The election will be the first held on schedule in four decades, with the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's government first to finish its full term in 50 years. It comes, of course, amid the background of Israel's ongoing military campaigns in Gaza and Lebanon and a fragile memorandum of understanding with Iran. Tavika Klein is editor-in-chief of the Jerusalem Post. Tavika, how significant will this election be for Israel?
It's going to be a very dramatic election because it's the first election since October 7th. This is also the first government in decades in Israel that actually was able to finish its term. So there's a lot at stake and a lot of emotions involved. While Israel is still kind of at war and, you know, many unsolved security situations and economic situations. So there's expected to be a very high turnout and a lot of parties involved.
What do the opinion polls tell us about whether Benjamin Netanyahu may be able to win or who is looking at his most likely rival?
Right, so it really depends what polls you look at. But if I had to, you know, kind of look at the percentage, if I look at the overall polling, it seems that every week, Gadi Eisenkot, which has become the leader of this new opposition party, is slowly becoming to be the strongest party, whether head-to-head with Benjamin Netanyahu or in some polls even passing him. This is a former chief of staff of the IDF who lost his son and his nephew in this war since October 7th. So he has a personal story. Many Israelis kind of relate to him. And Netanyahu, it seems, at least at the moment, isn't great in the polls.
Operations in Gaza and southern Lebanon have continued and the Iran conflict is far from over. How will this election period and beyond affect those conflicts in your view?
I would say most parties in Israel actually agree on a lot of anything that has to do with this war. When it comes to security, when it comes to how we should be managing a war, even though there is certain criticism from the opposition, but at the end of the day, most of the mainstream parties are right or center right when it comes to security. Even the head of the most left-wing party, Yair Golan, is a former deputy chief of staff of the IDF. So he can't be a labor left-winger. It's a very different type of left-wing. And I think, though, what will really make a difference is there's a very big internal dispute in Israeli society when it comes to the ultra-Orthodox community not enlisting in the IDF. And since, you know, a few years of war, many, you know, unfortunately, of our, you know, men and women who were killed throughout this war, people are looking for equal, you know, volunteering or enlisting to the IDF. And certain communities are not enlisting. And this is a very big change because it hasn't really been something that caused Israelis to actually go to the polls and vote for this topic, but it's something that really actually may change the dynamics in the Israeli political system.
The Knesset is set to dissolve later today, but this week has seen a rush of legislation pushed through the parliament. What moves have we seen the government make here?
There's many, many moves kind of pushing at the last second, as you said. So there was a law just passed today to reform the way communications and news outlets or TV stations are giving license in Israel and how it would play out. There's criticism on the one hand and support on the other hand. You know, those supporting it will say, everything that has to do with communications in Israel is very old school from the 80s and 90s, and it needs to be updated to 2026. Others, you know, say this will give power to tycoons and it's, you know, therefore not so good for the democracy. There are also laws that have to do with the attorney general and kind of trying to weaken the attorney general's influence on decisions being made in a certain way. It was supposed to be a lot larger of a law, and then they kind of slivered it down to something very kind of minimal. And there are many other laws, you know, pretty much that are the bread and butter of this coalition. As I mentioned, also, you know, allowing the ultra-Orthodox young men to not have to enlist in the IDF and kind of get them off the hook. This is something that the Netanyahu coalition with the ultra-Orthodox parties is pushing forward. Even though there are those who quit in the past few days from coalition parties because of these laws.
Where does the United States' relationship with Israel and Donald Trump's relationship with Benjamin Netanyahu, how does that fit into the environment of an election campaign?
Right. So in previous campaigns, Netanyahu, you know, published billboard ads picturing himself and President Donald Trump, saying how the relationship between the two is so strong. And really, it has been strong in the past few years. But the past few months since the Iran war have been rocky, I would say, not as close as they used to be. A lot of criticism within the Netanyahu camp and his supporters on, you know, having to stop the war or stop the attacks in Iran because of their requests from President Trump, and also Vice President J.D. Vance being very critical of this Israeli government and especially of Netanyahu. So in a way, it actually may be the opposite. The relationship between the two may actually not be something that would help him in the polls, but may actually do the total opposite and harm him.
Just finally, we've seen from opinion polls in other nations that Israel's international standing has declined in many parts of the world in the past couple of years. Does that matter to Israelis? Is that an issue on the agenda of restoring some of Israel's reputation internationally?
Unfortunately, the issue of Israel's public image and public relations and diplomacy is known to many Israelis, though I think many don't grasp the magnitude of how dramatic this rift is and how it's changed dramatically in the past few years. And unfortunately, you know, Israelis, as many other democracies, when they go to the polls, the last thing they're thinking about is foreign relations, which is kind of, you know, disappointing for people like me who are on the cusp of, you know, Israel and the English speaking world, seeing this terrible situation Israel's in. I think, you know, it would be really smart for many of the parties to have a platform discussing how they solve this terrible, you know, low point that Israel is in on the international stage, as you mentioned. It's something crucial. Unfortunately, I'm not seeing it being discussed at the moment.
Tavika, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.